Today's reading is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and can be found on page 216 of the Bibles. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
This morning we're beginning a new sermon series on the book of Joshua. But who exactly is Joshua? Well, Joshua's story begins in the book of Exodus when Moses and the Israelites had escaped from Pharaoh's clutches out of Egypt into the desert. But now they face danger from a new enemy. And it just so happened that Joshua belonged to one of the strongest tribes of Judah, except that where God is concerned, the words just so happened nothing just so happens. He just happened to be from one of the strongest tribes of Judah because God was going to use him because of his strength. So Moses asked Joshua to lead a crack team of men against the Amalekites. And Joshua didn't realize, though, that he and his men weren't fighting in their own strength, because Moses was watching a battle, the battle from a high mountain, with his hands lifted high in prayer. And as long as he held his hands high, the Israelites began to win. But the minute he got tired and dropped his hands, they began to lose. And in the end, Moses' companions had to help Moses keep his hands held high, and the battle was won. So it wasn't in Joshua's strength, it wasn't in Moses' strength, it was in God's strength that the battle was won. And that was the first lesson that Joshua had to learn. God told Moses to write this down because he wanted Joshua to hear it. Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure Joshua hears it. Because the danger would be, I guess, because Joshua had won this battle, that he'd think, well, I did that, I'm the brave one. And actually, he had to learn that it was God who had done it. And Moses also gave Joshua a new name, meaning the Lord saves. And that way, Joshua would never forget where his victory had come from. Whenever anyone called his name, he'd be reminded of it. So whenever anyone said, good morning, Joshua, they were saying to him, good morning, the Lord saves. How are you today, Joshua? How are you, the Lord saves? It must have almost driven him mad, you know, that every time anyone spoke to him, the Lord saves, yes, I know the Lord saves, that was what his name meant. And Joshua was present during key moments in Moses' life, all of which shaped him as a leader. This is the thing, all the small things that happen in our lives turn us into the person that we are. And if we're following God, he makes sure that the small things are molding us into the person he wants us to be and giving us the skills that we need. So Joshua was on Mount Sinai when Moses received the Ten Commandments. And in fact, when they returned and found the Israelites were worshipping a golden calf instead of God, Joshua saw how Moses took very swift action to deal with this situation. So Moses didn't shy away from tough decisions. And that was another lesson that Joshua needed to learn. Joshua also accompanied Moses to the tent of meeting when they went to worship. Moses would return to the camp, but Joshua would always stay behind. It says in Exodus 33, his young assistant Joshua did not leave the tent. And it was as if Joshua couldn't get enough of God. You know, he came into the tent and he was worshiping, and Moses was worshiping, and the presence of God was there. And when you feel the presence of God in the place, you don't want to leave it. It's so precious. It can just suddenly happen that you're just aware of God, and you just think, whatever this is that I'm aware of, I don't want to lose it. And Joshua didn't want to lose it. And so this time in the tent was when he learned the importance as well as the blessing of spending time in God's presence. And essentially what was happening was that Joshua was being led by God long before he was going to have to lead others. But you know, he got one more lesson to learn, and that was the lesson of disappointment. In the book of Numbers, Joshua was one of 12 men who Moses sent to spy out the promised land ahead of the rest of the Israelites. And Joshua returned with a really encouraging report, but the people were afraid because they knew that warrior tribes inhabited the land. And Joshua argued in vain that the land was theirs for the taking. He said, God's with us. This is what Numbers 13 says. The land we pass through is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But unfortunately, the people were not persuaded. They refused to trust God, and as a result of their disobedience, God made them wander through the wilderness for another 40 years. It's hard to imagine that. And actually, that included Joshua. He also suffered because the Israelites were so stubborn. And the rebels ended up dying in the wilderness, and Moses too would die in the desert. But Moses' final act was to give Joshua his blessing as he commissioned him to lead the rest of God's people into the land. So be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And God also spoke to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them, and I myself will be with you. Both of those verses are in Deuteronomy 31. But those verses sound kind of familiar, don't they? And they should do, because we've just heard three verses that sound almost exactly the same in today's reading from Joshua 1. When a phrase is repeated in the Bible, it's because it's important. Be strong and courageous. But hang on a moment. This is Joshua, the warrior who fought the Amalekites and won. This is Joshua, the warrior who saw God doing amazing things. This is Joshua, the warrior whom Moses had just commissioned to succeed him. Surely Joshua had nothing to be afraid of. Well, here's the thing. Nobody tells you to be brave and courageous when something is going to be easy. You know, if my children were going down the road to buy an ice lolly, I didn't need to say to them, be brave and courageous. They were out the door as soon as they had the, whatever it was, 2 shillings in their hand, old money. I mean, you know, anyway, I can't remember how much ice cream was when they were children. But if you're doing something easy, no one tells you to be brave. They tell you to be brave when it's going to be costly or difficult. They tell you to be brave when they know it could hurt. They tell you to be brave when they know you might be afraid. And it's okay to be afraid. In fact, without fear, there is no courage. If you're not afraid of something, you don't need to have courage. You don't need to be brave. And the bravest people are the people who face their fears and try to overcome them. And because we all have fears, we can all be courageous. It's not a quality that one person has and another hasn't. You know, we sometimes say, oh, that person over there is really brave. I'm not brave. But actually, we can all be brave, because if we're afraid, we can be brave. Fear is actually a safety mechanism. It's something, it's quite good to have this safety mechanism, because it stops us in our tracks if we're in a dangerous place. So if I'm standing on the edge of a cliff looking down, it's good to feel fear, because it stops me from stepping over the edge of the cliff. It makes me think, do I really want to go there? Or if I am going to go there, take appropriate action, put a parachute on. You know, being brave is deciding what you can do about a situation and doing it. And fear is sometimes the warning, just, hey guys, be careful. You know, if you're feeling afraid, it's telling you to be careful. The problem is with fear is that sometimes our stress levels get so high and the adrenaline starts pounding through our bodies that the tiniest thing makes us afraid. So we get a phone call and we're immediately anxious because of what's going to happen next. Who, you know, someone, something awful might have happened. That's the problem. Fear has got kind of a bit, it's sort of spilled over into every area of our life, and it's no longer the original sort of caveman instinct of only when you're facing a dinosaur or something should you feel afraid. No, it's kind of, it's got a bit out of hand. All sorts of things can make us afraid. What might have been making Joshua afraid? Well, first of all, Moses, who'd been leading the people for over 40 years, he was dead. Joshua was now on his own. He no longer had his mentor beside him. And he and the Israelites were grieving. And I must admit, it felt really strange for me to come to church the first week after Simon had left, to not see him setting up for the 9 o'clock, to not have him standing beside me as I led the service. And obviously it's not quite the same as Joshua grieving for Moses, because Simon was very much alive when I saw him briefly last Tuesday. And the posts on Facebook, where they're on holiday at the moment, he's very much alive and enjoying his holiday. But for Joshua, it was a wrench for me. You know, so I worked with Simon for 14 years and I loved working with him. But it's time for me now to step up and get on with it. And for Joshua too, it was time for him to step up and get on with it. God gave them space to grieve, but then it was time to move on. So in Deuteronomy 34:8, the Israelites grieved for Moses for 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. You know, God gave them space to grieve. But now in Joshua 1, in our reading this morning, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan. You see, it's right for us to grieve. When something dreadful happens, it's right for us to grieve. And God knows that. But sometimes we can get trapped by our grief. We can get stuck and unable to move on with our lives, which isn't healthy and it isn't what God desires. And I just wonder if some of you, maybe as a result of a loss or a bereavement of some sort, you've kind of got stuck in that place of grief and it's just affecting your whole life and making you anxious and worried the whole time. And maybe God is nudging you. It's time to get up. It's time to get going again. Secondly, when you've failed something in the past, it can be really hard to believe that you'll succeed on another attempt. And all those years ago, Joshua had failed to convince the Israelites to follow him into the land. And he must have had doubts filling his mind. Would it be different this time? Would they listen? Would they follow him now? Yes, because this was his destiny. All his training and preparation had been leading to this moment. He was the Israelites' new leader. So in Deuteronomy 31:7, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into this land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give him. Joshua was under orders. You must go. This wasn't a sudden whim. It wasn't a surprise. This was something that God had planned and promised and purposed many years earlier. A bit like Simon going to Ham may have come as a surprise to us, but it wasn't a surprise to God. It was something he had planned and promised and purposed. And then he revealed that plan to Simon. And then it's revealed to us. But we sometimes think, gosh, this is a surprise. And we've got to remember it's not a surprise to God. And then Joshua 1:3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. It's all part of God's promise and God's plan. And then finally, Joshua 1:6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. When God has decided something, it happens. And the Israelites had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they probably thought, what's happened to God's promise? Why are we not in the promised land? When God decides something, it happens. And it may happen with a 40-year gap, but it happens. So I just want to encourage you, if you've been praying for something for a long time, if it's God's purpose, it will happen. The gap actually is not the problem. It's God's timing. And just in case this isn't enough to strengthen and encourage Joshua, God reminds him he won't be doing it on his own. Deuteronomy 31:23, I myself will be with you. Joshua 1:5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Joshua 1:9, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Here's the thing, God knew that Joshua would be terrified and would be discouraged. Otherwise, why would he have said, don't be? He knew that Joshua would get discouraged. He knew that he might be terrified. That comes with leadership. That comes with life, actually. Whether you're a leader or not, you have moments in your life when you get terrified and discouraged. But God says, don't be. He understands our weakness and our struggles. He whispers in our ear, don't be terrified, don't be discouraged. I am with you. And this with you thing isn't the sense of Jean went with Mary to the supermarket, but more in the sense that God will make all things work out. But this would be dependent on Joshua sticking close to God. Joshua needed to hold on to that intimacy with God that he had experienced in the tent of meeting. Whenever God's people took their eyes off God, such as the episode of the golden calf, this was when things began to go wrong for them. This was always going to be the cause of things going wrong for them. So God's final piece of advice to Joshua is to stay close to God, to absorb his word, to recite it until it became a part of him so that it influenced his thinking and his actions. You see, when we read silently, our minds can easily get distracted. We start thinking about other things. But there's something about speaking the words aloud, because we're using our body to say them out loud. It makes us concentrate more. If I'm reading quietly, I often find I start thinking, oh, I wonder if that email came in, and it's easy to swap over on my iPad to check an email. But if I were to read aloud, or actually what I do now is I don't read my Bible on my iPad. I open a paper one, because then I can't swap to Facebook. We all struggle with it. There's something about engaging physically with something that makes it real. And by speaking the words aloud, God knew that that would strengthen Joshua. And of course, what was going to strengthen and bless Joshua would also strengthen and bless his people. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. The success of God's plans depended on Joshua obeying God. So what is God saying to us today? Well, as for the appointment of our new vicar, God has got good plans for this church and for our new incumbent. And hopefully we will hear something soon that we can share. And just as God worked through Joshua to make his plans happen, he's going to be working through our new incumbent. He'll be preparing him or her, giving them the gifts that they need to serve us. And so we need to be praying for them that all the little pieces of their life, that all the experiences that they've had add up to serving us in this new role, just as all the experiences Joshua had added up to him serving in the way that he did. Our new incumbent, whoever they are, all the pieces will be adding up. And I just know that God has got the right person to send to us, and that their skill set and what they've experienced will just be such a blessing to us. It is going to be different to Simon, because they won't be Simon. They'll be who they will be. But it's going to be good, because God has a plan. God promises good to his people, and God has a purpose. But we need to be praying for our future vicar, praying for them that they will be prepared, because they may be feeling slightly apprehensive. You know, accepting a new job, they may be thinking, I hope I'm doing the right thing. I hope this is the right place. I think God's calling me here. Did they get it right when they interviewed me? And they could be having all sorts of thoughts. And also they have to disengage with the parish that they're in. So it's important we keep praying for them. All of us are invited to partner with God, because we all have a role to play during the interregnum. And I believe he's particularly calling some of you who've yet to find where your ministry is in St. Paul's to step up and fill some of the gaps. And there are going to be more gaps than just Simon, because of the team who are going with Simon to Ham. And I don't want you to step up because you have to. I don't want you to step up grudgingly because no one else is doing it. I have a real sense that God's saying, I really want to bless you. And as you step out in new things, you'll discover your gifts. You'll be given great joy in discovering them. And you'll find out more about yourself as the person that God's destined you to be. God has plans and promises to fulfill them. We just need to begin acting on them. It's all about God's strength, not ours. God's power, not ours. And I also believe the words, be strong and courageous, are for someone here who's failed in the past or been failed by others. And God says, don't be discouraged. He's not finished with you yet. There are opportunities available to you. Just don't be scared to take hold of them. And I also have a sense that fear is a big issue for some of you, preventing you from being or doing what God has destined for you. And that feelings of doubt and inadequacy are crippling you, preventing you from moving forward. And this fear may have been caused by loss or bereavement that's kind of trapped you and held you back, and you've totally lost your confidence. But I feel that God is saying, you are stronger than you realize. Oh, I'm just trying to find my last picture. Oh, it's gone. Oh, no. Oh, I can't bear it. I had a wonderful last picture. Gosh, that is so sad. It was a picture of a cat with a light shining against them, with a shadow of a lion on the wall behind them. Some of you may have seen a picture like that on the net. And it's a wonderful, wonderful picture. And I just felt that that picture is for someone that you feel tiny and insignificant and inadequate. But actually, he says, you're stronger than you realize. And I think he's saying, you think you're small, like the cat in the picture. But God says, I've given you the heart and the spirit of a lion. And it's time for you to get moving again. It's not too late. After all, the Israelites waited 40 years. And I also had at the end of my sermon, and again, I don't know where it's disappeared, that picture of the man who was just lost in worship before God. And I think God is calling all of us back to a place of greater intimacy with him, because this is where everything begins, when our hearts and our minds and our spirits and our bodies are offered to God in worship. When we connect totally with him and he with us, it's about God. It always is.